Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. If you want to join me and Dr. Jim Burns and Dr. Alice Benton, well, just call us, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Hello, Alice. Welcome, Jim, back onto the program.
Hello. Great to be with you.
You know, I was thinking about you this weekend. I was with some amazing, just great, great men, humble men, great men. And I was just praying some of it would rub off. And I got to tell you, Jim, your book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children, it's so important because so many of these guys are struggling. Like one guy, he can't see his grandkids because he wouldn't get a booster. He's vaccinated, wouldn't get a booster. Yet these kids are on airplanes with their parents. And it's just meanness, you know, and oh my goodness, the stuff that goes on. So your book is so needed in this day and age. I'm really grateful I can give it to people. So thanks for that book.
Well, thank you. And I say to Kathy sometimes, we need to practice better principle number two. Let's try three today. So we're still living it,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Well, doing life with your adult kid. Is it kids or children?
Children.
Children, okay, good. Kids, because that's like little billy goats. So we've got that if you want it, and then we've got some great parenting stuff coming up. I think you're going to love that. Also, I want to mention that we are going to have not a men's trip, but everybody's trip, and it is our Rhine River cruise. We tried to do this 2 years ago. COVID prevented it. We have the whole ship, and we'd love for you to join us. And the itinerary is, well, it's pretty spectacular. We start off over in Amsterdam, and then we go to, well, we go to, there are like 165 canals there, Cologne, Germany, where aftershave was invented, and then Rüdesheim, where people were rude, and they got their act together. We go to Ludwigshafen. Ludwigshafen, you know, home of the wig, and Heidelberg Castle, the Great Vat. imagine this, 18th century, 49,000 gallon wine cask. I mean, they really loved their wine. And then Strasbourg, where they would like play the French music, eating burgers. And then we're going to see the European Parliament, La Petite France district. Right out of a fairy tale. We're going to all these amazing cathedrals. And here's the deal. Milan Jurkovic is going to be there with Kay. And they're going to be talking, and I'm going to be talking. Our theme is the wonder of God, the power of God. And we're doing it right out of Psalm 145, which says the Lord is merciful and compassionate. A lot of people don't know that. Slow to anger, and filled with unfailing love, good to everyone, showers compassion on all his creation. Everything he does, it says in the 17th verse, is filled with kindness. Now, if you don't know that kind of God, you will, if you'll come join us. Why do we do these? We love getting to meet people deeply, get to know them, become part of their lives. None of our budget goes to pay for these. They pay for themselves. And we'd love to have you join us for this or something that we do as just a good old-fashioned trip together. And it's amazing how like-minded we all are when we all get together, us, our hosts, and those that listen to the radio or those that have been helped. So if you want to know more about it, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can go to the website, newlife.com. It's in October, and we're going to have a great time. 1-800-229-3000. to talk to two doctors and a guy, Dr. Jim Burns, Dr. Alice Benton, and we'll take this break and come right back. Got two callers already, so stay tuned. We are glad you're with us here today on New Life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and it is Mental Health Awareness Month. And there are a lot of folks that are not aware that they don't have much of it. And so, and the more you try to tell them, the worse it gets, because criticism causes people to dig in their heels and defend their ground. Acceptance is actually a better way to get people to change. They feel free to make good decisions to change. So if somebody in your family is struggling, or you know you are, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and let us help you. We will find the resource best for you. We'll do everything that we can. I want to go to Dave, who's calling us from Baltimore, Maryland, listens on WAVA. Dave, how are you today?
I'm okay. Can you hear me all right?
Yes. What's going on?
Okay. Good. So my question is, well, question that I asked before, and I thought I would never ask this question, was should I stay with my wife or give her what she wants and leave? And I asked that question because we've been married for, it'll be 3 years, the end of June, and she hasn't hardly talked to me at all for the past 2 years, almost 2 years. September will be 2 years. Our finances have never been combined. She's had financial issues with her ex-husband, and so she has trust issues as far as money goes. But she's an avoider. I read the book How We Love by Mylan and Kay. It's an awesome book. I recommend it to anybody. So she's an avoider, and I'm a velociter.
You got married a little anything. Too. So you got married a little too quickly, I would assume. How long had you known her?
I've known her for 35 years. We dated years ago. We were engaged for a while. I was in the Army. While I was in the Army, we had.
But how long did you date this time? How long did you date this time?
This time, about a year, almost 2 years.
Okay, I was absolutely wrong about that, because that's a pretty good amount of time. Let me ask you this, and then I'm going to turn it over to Jim and Alice. Dave, there are a lot of folks in marriages like yours. It's just a really crummy, horrible situation. And one person wants it better, and the other person feels justified in everything they do that just makes it worse. Here's the question for you. It's a painful question. A guy like you, married to someone like her, and I'm just taking your word for it that this is all real, you have an excuse. You have an excuse to kind of stay at the spiritual level you're at. But I'm just wondering, rather than look at her, label her, know her, have you given up that and just started working on yourself? I mean, even if you were a saint, you just start working on humility and godliness and transforming whatever you can transform, never doing anything justifying it by her bad behavior. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying, and I can honestly say yes to that.
You've been doing that. That's good.
I've known her since high school. We've been in touch off and on through the years when we weren't in a relationship. I love her more than anyone.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Our first date was our senior prom.
Okay. Well, let me ask Alice to talk to you, try to get to some of the deeper issues. Those were just the things I was interested in there. Alice?
Right. Yeah.
Your microphone is absolutely not on there, Alice. Well, that's... Here. Why don't you, Jim, take a stab at it, and then we'll get Alice straightened up here and with the microphone.
Okay. Hey, Dave, I wanted to ask you why she hasn't spoken to you for 2 years. What's the story behind that story?
I don't know.
Well, when you ask her, what does she say?
She doesn't say a word. She doesn't say anything. She's silent.
Yeah.
It's like talking to a wall. Mm. When I talk to her, she hears what I say. She does hear what I say, but she doesn't reply. And if I do get any kind of reply, it's usually a single word, and it's a whisper so faint that if I wasn't listening, I wouldn't hear it.
Yeah. And she is not willing to talk with a moderator. She's not willing to talk with the counselor together about what's going on.
Not at all. Our pastor who married us, he sent out an email a couple weeks ago to both of us to see if we would be willing to sit down and talk. And she didn't reply until he sent the second email. She said that she appreciated him reaching out, but she was not interested in talking.
Yeah.
But if I do anything that bothers her, she'll write it on a post-it note and stick it at wherever that offense might be.
Okay.
And she's,
that's rough.
It's like she's trying to turn up the heat to make me heat.
Yeah.
Actually, she turned the heat off. This past weekend's been extremely hot. The AC's been off since last year.
Okay. Alice, I want you to see if you can get a little deeper here with anything that could work, and then I'm going to go back to Jim for a final word.
Well, Dave, just thinking about these 2 years of no communication whatsoever, what a cold and lonely relationship you've been living in with a woman that you deeply love. During the 3 years of your marriage, have you ever separated for a time because she's wanted you to leave?
No. I did tell her that I felt like Job in this. Like when Job's wife said, told him he should just curse God and die. I feel like she's telling me to give up, to just leave, to go against the commitment that I made.
And you two don't have any children together, is that right? No children together?
No, not together.
And what's your worst fear of what will happen if you do agree to leave the home temporarily?
Oh, if I leave, we'll end up divorced. Yeah, if I leave, it would end up... I believe if I left, it would become permanent. Because if I told her I was leaving, within a day, she would have the locks changed. We're both Christians, but...
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Okay. So, anything you're thinking there, Alice or Jim?
You know, there's a biblical principle that says, and it's scripture, it says, where there is no counsel, the people fall, and the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Dave, I think what Steve said at the very beginning is, I would get counsel and coaching on this. You know, you've stumped us. But again, if we're sitting for coffee and we were talking for 45 minutes, we might get some other information about her or about you. But honestly, I would find someone who you trust, and I would have them help you think through this process, because leaving or even separating, as Alice said, you know, might be your best option. But the fact of the matter is, right, I would get with somebody that you trust, and I'm not sure it's your pastor, to be honest. It may be a marriage counselor who understands the principles and things. I mean, you read you know, Mylon and Kay's book, and you were helped, but she wasn't.
Yeah.
She, you know, it's not, I mean, she probably doesn't have some of that insight, but she's probably not going to be willing to do that. But I would do that if I was you before you made some of the decisions that you may have to make, because there's not an easy decision here.
Well, here's what I'm thinking, I know how to say stuff that everybody would agree with and be happy with, but I'm just going to take a little risk here. As I hear you talking about no conversation in 2 years, things like that, it feels like to me your wife has already divorced you, that she has an in-house separation going. And I got to tell you, you staying there and wishing it get better and knowing that divorce is going to occur, it just might be kind of a people-pleasing part of you versus it's time to get serious. So you say to her, honey, it feels like you've divorced me 2 years ago. You quit talking to me. Now, I want to know what you're willing to do for us to get married again here, because we haven't been married for 2 years. We're just living in the same house.
Right.
And so are you willing to go with me to a counselor that you can choose? Are you willing to go to counseling yourself without me? I'm going to go to counseling. Will you join me in that counseling? Those kinds of things. And I really believe if you give her, I'm going to give you 30 days. If she says no, you say, well, I'm going to give you 30 days to change your mind. And then I can't see any benefit to us living like this. It's just not healthy for either of us. And so I'm going to have to do something different. After 30 days, if she hasn't come around, you really need to have a planned separation from her, that you leave, that you have some therapist, like Jim's saying, give you guidance on what to do. Because I don't think you staying there and enabling her to not be married to you is going to get anybody anywhere. You need to be patient. You need to move slowly. I'm not saying divorce her. I'm saying do whatever you need to do that has the highest chance of motivating some level of help for her. All right, Alice, Jim, final thing.
Dave, during that time, that 30 days, I want you to consider and assume that you made communication unsafe for her some way, somehow, probably exacerbating the history she's already been through with her ex-husband and other men in her life, but you humbly identified yourself as a vacillator. That means you can be controlling. It probably means you can have high highs and very low lows and a harsh style of communication when you're overwhelmed. If any of that is true about you, bring to her the assumption, I made it unsafe to talk with me directly. You can only write notes to me because I was not receptive to your concerns and your complaints previously. I've been working on myself and I want to prove to you that I am becoming a more trustworthy man in communication. But perhaps, Dave, your wife can only communicate with you in a written form because you have been too unsafe. Now, I could be wrong about that, but there's probably a slice of truth to that you added to her historical pain. Take that to her and see.
Is there anything there at all? Because sometimes there isn't anything there.
Right. You mean as far as
that 2 years ago, something, you know, might have really festered a wound or something like that within her?
I don't think so. I mean, she started with the silence thing was like a roller coaster for months.
So I don't want you to take any kind of shame upon yourself that you don't deserve. I think, from my perspective, we've given you the best direction in what a lot of people would say is an impossible situation. If you've never fasted over this, this is the kind of dilemma that sometimes a spiritual breakthrough occurs when you really make some tough sacrificial choices. And I am so sorry that this is happening to you. I'm going to send you Every Man's Bible. I hope that's going to help you. I really hope that you could somehow motivate her for the two of you to get help. And I think Jim's right. I don't think your pastor is it. I think it's somebody. Be great if she could pick them and they'd be good. Jim, thinking of something here?
No, I think that we've done the best we can with what we've got. There might be a story behind that story, Dave, so be open to that, whatever that story is. If we didn't get to it, that may be a way for you to, you know, get through to whatever. But listen to God. And then if you do a planned separation, remember, it's a planned separation. It's not forever. See what happens right there. And then move right to the next thing.
Yeah. 1-800-229-3000. We'll take a break. Come right back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. That was so tough. And I wish we knew everything from both sides, but man, I'm telling you, God's a God of miracles. I see it all the time. Never stop praying. Never stop doing whatever you can do for God to jump in there and help you when it seems like there's no help available.
You know, Steve, I was talking with our friend Henry Cloud not too long ago, and he was talking about being a mentor to people when he counsels. And, you know, what happens in a wonderful show like this is we can only do so much.
Right.
Somebody like Dave and others, other listeners, what they really want to do is actually be mentored by a counselor who understands. And so sometimes taking that first step of saying, I'm gonna invest not only money, but I'm gonna invest my time and energy into me and try to work on it, that becomes an incredible life-changing experience. And regardless of what happens in the outcome, say for somebody like Dave, it's always better for him to look for that mentoring, sometimes through a counselor who can really help them, you know, look at their own life, whether it be that they're going to get back together or that, the world is different 2 years from now with him.
And I just can't tell you how important counseling can be when there's stuff, tough stuff from the past, present.
Yeah.
I go to counseling. I meet with Charlie every Thursday, 10 a.m. And you should see what I'd be like if I have not had counseling over the years. It's just so helpful to me, and I just hope and pray. You know, somebody might have had an experience with a counselor 20 years ago. Well, one counselor 20 years ago has nothing to do with all the people that are counseling today. And counseling has evolved greatly. My counselor told me, his professor said, you need to be open, honest, and authentic. And the sooner you learn to fake that, the better counselor you're going to be. And he's saying, we've come a long way since that was how people thought about counseling. All right, how about we go over here and let's talk to Richard, Las Vegas, Nevada, KNLB. Hi there, Richard. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing okay. How could we help? We really want to.
My question is, I've been trying to get in touch with an old high school friend, and I've emailed her, I've called her, and I've tried to get in touch with her, and she won't reciprocate, she won't email me back or call me, and all my stuff has gone unanswered.
Okay.
Should I pursue it still, or sure? And all my friends are telling me just to give up and write her off.
Sounds like that's what she would prefer you do.
It does, because I emailed her this morning, and she's a police officer from Santa Barbara, and she just won't talk to me, and it's been over 10 years since we last talked.
Okay, so why are you so persistent in this? I mean, you do a text, you do an email, you do a phone call, no response. You know, why wouldn't you just move on? What's this mean to you? Why are you so persistent with this?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, just trying to figure out why she won't talk to me.
You know, it doesn't really matter. It really doesn't matter. And, you know, there are people that get rejected because they sound like somebody that hurt them, or they look like somebody. You know, it's just, life doesn't always have logic to it. And you just have to assume, she doesn't know who you are now. So you just have to assume there's something there, and I think you show her great respect by not persisting anymore. Jim, what are you thinking about this?
I'm totally with you, Steve. You know what, Richard? She's made her comment to you. I'm not going to connect back with you. So during this, you know, kind of period, how great that you tried it, and it didn't work. That happens with social media all the time. So, you know, there may be another time, but this is not the time to keep pursuing her. It actually makes you, please hear this in the right form, kind of creepy if you just keep going back to this woman who you haven't talked to in 10 years. And so stay away. Stop it.
Yeah, you don't want her to have you arrested. Yeah. So, well, you probably can't. You're not.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway.
I know what you mean.
Okay. So, Alice, anything you want to add here?
Richard, have you had a romantic interest with her, and is that what you were hoping for this time?
Well, we were real good friends in high school, and she never picked on me. She never belittled me, you know, like the other kids did. And, yeah, she was my 8th grade crush and 9th grade, you know, and I've told her this before, and we were talking real good, but then my computer crashed, and I lost contact with her, and then I'm totally blind now, and 10 years go by, and then I get a thing for my reunion, and then I start thinking about her again.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I just want to encourage you to not to make it about you, because she doesn't know who you are. You know, it's just you're not the same guy now, and I think you're a smart guy. But let's go through the little grieving process and let go of kind of that hope or the dream there. And maybe if you will not contact her, she's got your contact information. Who knows? Something might happen in the future and she'll get in touch with you. You know, I've heard some really interesting reasons that people don't respond. And I know of one case where the person had a terminal illness and just didn't want to bring this person out of the past into their life now and just hurt them. So just didn't even want to, you know, there'd be all sorts of good reasons to do that, you know, but that was the reason. It had nothing to do with the person that wanted contact. It had everything to do with the person that just, for whatever reason, didn't want this person in the life at the end. All right, 1-800-229-3000. Dr. Jim Burns, Dr. Alice Benton, right here. And we'd love to talk to you. It's a great day. If it isn't for you, what could you change to make it better? That's the big question.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, 1-800-229-3000. 3 years ago, some people put together some funds and said, we'd like to make this a matching gift. Don't use it until other people come along and double what we've done together. It's about $150,000, something like that. It's wonderful. Last year, it was $450,000, and we were able to use every bit of it, matched it. This year, that group of people raised $700,000, a little over. And we have until the end of May to get that matched. If you have $700,000, would you write us a check? Okay, maybe you don't, but $700 would be great, or $7. Anything that you give will be doubled. And I will send you this brand-new devotional, 100 Days to Freedom from Anger. Not much more destructive in a relationship than unresolved anger. And this book, in 100 days, it really does give you insight and a spiritual dimension to how to get beyond the anger. Not manage it, but to get beyond it. And we'll send that to you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number to call. Well, I want to go to Atlanta, Georgia here, and I want to talk to Ruth, who she listens on the Sirius XM satellite radio, channel 131 at 1 p.m. Eastern. Ruth, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. How could we help you?
I would like to talk to our grandson-in-law, and I'm just not sure how to go about doing that. And what I'd like to talk to him about is he is the father of two children, almost four, and a baby. The baby's about 7 or 8 months now, I think. And he is basically like a helicopter dad. And he's that way with his wife, too. It didn't seem like he was like that before he had children, but I think we just didn't really see it because he does the dogs the same way. But the children can't do anything without him. Why are you doing it that way? Blah, 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 blah. And you have to keep on, you know, you have to do it this way. And why don't, you know, if you do so-and-so, it's so-and-so's going to happen. And, you know, like if you chew with your mouth open and talk with your mouth, with your food in your mouth, you're going to choke. And,
yeah. Okay.
You know, he's a very hands-on dad. He's very good, but he's just, and it's got, nobody will say anything to him about it. I think he and his wife probably discuss it, and I think she backfires, but she won't backfire in mixed company.
And that's your granddaughter, right? His wife is your granddaughter?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what does your daughter say about all this?
Well, it's my husband's son is her father, but we are close with her mother also. And her mother doesn't like it either. Mm-hmm. Her mother and her mother's mother are around a lot, and they don't like it either. And once in a while, she will say something to him about it. Like if he does it to her, she'll tell him, "Hey, back off," you know, or something like that. And none of them are Christian.
Okay, so Jim just happens to be a great, great counselor in the area of grandparents and grandkids. And Jim, what are you thinking when you hear something like this?
I was thinking of a principle that I talk about a lot, and it says unsolicited advice is usually taken as criticism. So, Ruth, you've got advice, and it's good, and it's good advice. And he's doing the same thing. I mean, he's giving advice without, you know, without thinking. But with you, you know, unsolicited advice is taken as criticism. So don't jump into a conversation with that. I'm going to tell you a real quick story. I had some advice I wanted to give my daughter about something going on with the family. And so I took her to breakfast, and it didn't come out. I just built relationship. We just talked. And I came home, and I said to my wife, shoot, didn't get to do it this time. Went out with her last week. And I said, hey, can I have permission to kind of speak into what you're just talking about? Because she happened to bring it up. And you know what? She didn't realize I was pushing on her, and she accepted it as good advice. So I would just simply say with your, you know, with this, you know, grandson-in-law that, you know, don't jump into it. But, you know, he probably does need some advice. But it's easier when you've built a relationship, which it sounds like you have, which is great. But, you know, give that advice, but give it when they're ready, because unsolicited advice is taken as criticism. And what it's saying is, you don't trust my parenting. Well, you kind of said good things about his parenting. But what that says to somebody when we give advice when it's unsolicited is, you know, you don't trust me, or you don't trust me to make good decisions. And so, you know, give him some praise. You gave him some praise even as you were talking to us. As you do that, I think he'll be more open to what you're saying. And I'm not sure at this point I would bring up the whole family saying, you know, everybody says this, if they're not willing to have a conversation with them about it. But, you know, be that person who lovingly, I appreciate it when somebody gives me, you know, some insight into this, but mm-hmm. do it delicately and don't just jump into it. Lead with something else.
Alice, your thoughts here.
Yeah.
Ruth, I'm sure you're aware that you probably have a tentative position as his step-grandmother-in-law, and that perhaps someone else in the family, whether it's your husband, might have a stronger footing in his life that he might be more receptive to. If you have a good, warm relationship, then you very well may be the best person. But if not, you might want to bring someone else in on addressing this for whom he has a better ear. And as Jim is pointing out, there are ways to give advice that we are more tolerant of. And there's a ratio, really, of needing five compliments to be able to metabolize just one critique. So very heavy, overloading on what a good parent he is. Mm-hmm. We also can hear better when someone shares from their own mistakes or their own fear as a parent. And so your willingness to also let your guard down and talk about your struggles as a parent will help smooth the way for him to hear you.
Yeah. My thought is based on an experience I had with a couple. Becky Brown and I were facilitating a group, and what was described by his wife was very much this kind of parenting, and it was, of course, the kids were really impacted by this controlling and overly questioning these things.
Yeah, the little boy's starting to act out, and
okay.
He's only four.
All right, so here's what I said in that group. I said, hey, what in the world are you so afraid of? And he started to weep. I said this to the man that was acting like your grandson-in-law is to his kids. And so he said, he just started crying, and that began a turnaround. So here's why I'm telling you that. I think rather than somebody telling him to be a better parent, I think it would be great if his wife could be told, you know, he must really be afraid of something. And probably the best path is to start showing, pointing out, making comments about the good stuff that he's doing, and even saying, you know, with this foundation that you've given them, you don't really have to be afraid that they're not going to eat in the proper way, or they're going to do it their way, but they're doing it on this foundation of your involvement and your love. And I just hope you can relax and enjoy them and just let them be kids. To me, that is so much better, affirming him and kind of slipping in there that there's no reason to be afraid. It's a greater chance that something good will happen than somebody telling him something. And then just like Jim saying, it's all viewed as criticism. Everything's criticism.
Right.
But the wife might be able to make some inroads here. That's who I'd be talking to. Compliment the good stuff. Notice the great stuff. And just casually mention you just don't need to be afraid about these kids. They're really growing up great. I'm glad you called. I'll send you a copy of Jim's book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. I think that'd be good for you. It'll be good for the kids. And I just hope and pray something really good could come out of this. You know, it's amazing how many people are depending on somebody doing a good job with the job they have. These kids are dependent on this dad figuring it out and backing away and becoming a wise, wise father. And we can't just write off the spouse being controlled or whatever. You have to do things, hard things, tough things in tough situations. And if you need help with that, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more phone calls. Glad you're with us here on New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000. If you want to support our ministry, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you need help from us, it is the same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, we'll take a break. Come right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your good welfare, not for evil. I want to give you a future and a hope. And maybe God's plan for you is to join us at Every Man's Battle on June the 10th here in Indianapolis. May 27th is the deadline for a $200 saving. But Indianapolis is just right in the heart of America. It's driving distance for a lot of folks. It could change everything. What a great way to start the summer. June 10th here in Indianapolis. Restores July 15th in Dallas. And then Intimacy and Marriage, July the 22nd. And you probably heard us talk about our partnership with Museum of the Bible. We created this experience called Lumina. It's a one-day event. It's on November the 3rd, or you can go November the 4th. Bring a group of women. You will not forget this experience at Museum of the Bible. And then don't forget to tune in to Life Recovery Today. All right, we are going to go to Brandy right now, and she's calling from Bethesda, Maryland, also listening to the great station WAVA. Brandy, how are you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
I'm struggling with emotional, I guess, I don't know how to say this. I'm in my 50s and coming from a family, well, verbally abusive, went into abusive relationships, managed to pull myself out of it, wasted many years on being with people that were abusive, and I finally don't, that's not a part of my life. But I'm struggling with, I guess, feeling alone because I'm always accused of being too sensitive, too emotional, too this, too that. And so I've come to where I just push people away because, for instance, my family. I can get my feelings hurt very easy when, you know, they do or say certain things.
Like what? What's something that would hurt your feelings? What's something one of your family members have said that would hurt your feelings?
Well, we were supposed to have a big get-together on Saturday for one of my family members' birthdays. It's been a big deal since I was a child that we are always together for holidays, and I don't get to see this family member much. And then the last minute, they decided they didn't want me there. They just wanted to be with the two members of my family. So it turned into me getting my feelings hurt, and then my aunt decided to just go off on me, basically, for lack of better terms, with a lot of things. You need to grow. I'm 55 years old. You need to grow up. You need to. I'm sick of this emotional stuff, and this is just a life that.
Yeah.
I'm
okay. So we're at the end of the program here, and I want Alice to be able to respond to you, and then Jim. So I think we get the picture here, Alice.
Oh, sure. Brandy. I'm going to call you sister because you're talking to a very emotional woman as well. I'm very sensitive and my feelings get pricked easily. But I'm getting angry hearing what you go through because I suspect that the people around you do not know how to honor and care for your heart and your emotions. Rather, they verbally and emotionally beat you up and expect you to be fine with it. I think you have some God-given heart sensitivity, and I think it's a gift, but it's a gift that has felt like a curse in a family that didn't care for your heart. And so the answer for women like us, it's not actually to get emotionally tougher, although that does help us as well, but that's not the main answer. Our answer, Brandy, is to gather people around us who can consider our heart and who can value our emotions, our righteous hurt, our righteous sorrow. And your family has a track record of ignorance in that area. What are you feeling hearing me say this and feeling very defensive of you? What are you feeling, Brandy?
You're absolutely right. And I feel like I don't understand and I'm confused because I'm such a good person and I'm a nurse and I give with my heart. And
but before we run out of time, Jim, do you have a thought here?
You know, Brandy, I go a hearty amen to, you know, what your sister just said, Alice. I also say, you know, I kind of came from that family, kind of a family too, and I'm sensitive. So I'm looking at you as a female, but you know what? I'm also sensitive. I found that I needed replenishing relationships. You know, you got VDPs, very draining people, and that's your family, and you need some VIPs to come around you and understand you. And during seasons of our life, we sometimes have to lower our expectations of family, but it's easier when we are around people who just think we're great, emotions and all. And so I would put some energy into finding those kinds of people who just, they appreciate you, they love you, they accept you for who you are. And yeah. That doesn't mean you walk away from your family, but what it does mean is you don't have to feel so much hurt from them because you're getting it from someplace else. Your families are VDPs. We all have VDPs, and we can't do much about family.
Well, the thing is, they have been hurtful and cruel, and they're not going to change that. I would get in, at least I'd get into a support group, a codependency group. There's so many groups online since COVID, virtual group. At least do that. It'd be better to get in a women's Bible study at a big church where there are a lot of people that you would meet. But let me say this. It's time for you to get therapy to deal with the sensitivity. Because it's not that they're so bad. It's that at 55, you're still subjecting yourself to their cruelty. And so I want you to have enough strength to where you don't have to be with them. You've got other people to be with. And I developed this phrase, amused detachment. When you are fully healed, you can sit back and you don't get hooked in by these folks. You're just watching them do what they do. And it's kind of amusing because you're not hurt by it. They're just being them. And because you've gotten help, you're able to rise above it, detach from it. And you know what? When they don't hook you in anymore, they kind of give up doing it because it doesn't produce the same result. And that's what I would want for you, is that kind of freedom. Jim, something else that you wanted to say there before?
No, I was going to tell you, you know, people, we need good friends. I mean, there was a season in my life. You and I were both in our 20s. Mm-hmm. My dad is a recovering alcoholic, was a recovered. He recovered as an alcoholic. He wasn't then. And I used to say, Steve is cheaper than psychotherapy, because we'd go out, we'd have lunch, and we'd look, we'd laugh, and we'd talk, but we also talked heart to heart.
We sure did.
I could go back to my family background, which wasn't easy, and you know what? I didn't realize it. I write it down. I had amused detachment, and you helped me do that, and not even realizing. Maybe we were just talking life or jokes or whatever it was, but it helped me, and you were that VIP in my life. Well, that's what we all need to do. We need to find replenishing relationships. We don't need many. We have a lot of acquaintances, but who are those deeper friends who accept us for who we are, who love us no matter what, and they're not perfect either, but they bring us up instead of bring us down. Mm-hmm. Find those people.
And in that process, we learn to whom we can bring our wounds and our vulnerability, because sometimes we have to keep a straight face with people that aren't emotionally safe, and then we let our guard down with those that are safe.
Yes.
Right. So the issue isn't their cruelty or your sensitivity. It is coming back and exposing yourself to that with the same kind of feelings about it. I'm not all that sensitive, but I would sure be bugged if I was invited and then disinvited.
Right.
Horrible. If you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Jim Burns, thanks for being here. Dr. Alice Benton, thank you for being here. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Can't wait to see you tomorrow. Take care. God bless you. And he loves you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.